This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
If you have your Bibles with you, I am going to be back in Genesis, pretty easy to find, second chapter. And if you're really desperate to get to where I'm going, I'm also going to be in Matthew. So I'm going to be at the beginning of the Old Testament, and I'm going to be beginning at the New Testament. But we've been talking about this whole idea of the Genesis revelation, and we've talked about how there's so much going on in Genesis that everything that happens today, everything that's been happening throughout the whole world, everything that's been happening over the course of time, everything just seems to go back to Genesis, seems to go back to the beginning. And you see a lot in the beginning. And there's a lot of physical representation in this book of a metaphorical thing that's happening, of a spiritual thing that's happening. So did God create the earth in 6 days? Yeah, probably so. But there's so much more to be had in the fact that Genesis 1 is more than just a six-day creation. Did God create a garden, which we're going to talk about today? Did God build a physical garden? Yeah, probably so. But there's so much more to that garden, so much more representation within that garden that I want to talk to you about today that is not just a physical, but it's a spiritual. Because when we leave this world, the physical does what? It perishes, right? We live, we die. This goes. But what carries on? The spirit. Yeah. So it seems to me that if the spirit carries on, and if it goes back to the Lord, that we probably ought to start working on this spiritual thing, right? We need to begin to understand more the spiritual. So Genesis 2, if I give you time to get there, it says that verse 7. We'll start with verse 7. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Amen. This is the air I breathe. And man became a living being. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Now, I want to stop there. The Lord God formed a garden in the east of Eden, and that's where he placed man. And the Bible says, this is why I want to talk about the garden today, because the Bible says that when he comes, he's coming to restore. It actually says that Elijah comes first to restore all things before the coming of the Lord. And if a restoration happens, what's God's ultimate plan? God's ultimate plan is restoration back to what was. So back to the garden. If you look in throughout the whole Bible, if you look throughout the whole prophecies in the Bible, everything kind of leans and it kind of gears you back towards the Garden of Eden. Why the Garden of Eden? Because everything that anybody could ever need was in the Garden of Eden. Let me go on in verse 9. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that's pleasing to the sight and good for what? What else was there? The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden also. Yeah. Then it says this. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided and became four rivers. The first was the Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where it's gold. The gold is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second is the Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third is the Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden to cultivate it and keep it. Okay. So you have this representation, this garden that has everything that you need. It's got the food. It's got the tree of life, which is supposed to give you what? Yeah, life. But are you to die if you eat from that tree of life? No. But if you eat from the other tree, what happens? You die, right? So in this garden, God gives man a choice. You either obey me and follow after me and you can eat from the tree of life, and you can have everlasting life if you cling to me. Or you can disobey me, you can chase after your own desires and go this direction, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to die. So even on this earth today, you have two choices. When Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and he gave them this instruction in Deuteronomy, he says, I set before you two things, a blessing and a curse. Yeah. If you do the things that I'm telling you, if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with everything that you are, and you hold fast to his commandments, he says, if you do that, a blessing over the land. When you enter into the land, there's going to be a blessing over the land. The land of milk and honey. Yeah, there's going to be a blessing over the land if you would align with the Lord. If you would love him with everything that you are and obey his commands, there would be a blessing. But if you choose not to, and again, whose choice is it? If you choose not to, then a curse over the land. So if you choose not to, you're in trouble, right? And throughout history, you can see where Israel was. They were on it, and there was blessing, and then every time that they disobeyed God, every time that they walked further away from God, what happened? They ended up being banished from the land, right? Three times that happened, and only now are we starting to see where people are coming back into the land because of that, after that third time of being banished. Okay, that's all important, because what I want to tell you today is that there is an enemy out there, okay? But the enemy has a plan, and he's got a purpose. And the first purpose is to pull you further and further away from God. Because if he can pull you further and further away from God, then no longer will there be a blessing, there will be a curse. Yeah. Okay, good. You guys are paying attention. So I'm going to flip on over to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 13. I had Tuesday morning at our Bible study, I had a couple people ask some pretty poignant questions, which I thought were very good during our break time. And it kind of led me to some of these scriptures to do the teaching that I'm going to do today. I don't want them, if they're listening, I don't want them to think that they're the reason I'm doing this. It's not the case. Some of you I might pull a sermon from, but not in this case. Some of you might be some pretty cool sermon illustrations. Some of you maybe are, and you just don't know it. Exactly. I want to go to chapter 13 and verse 24. So Jesus says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." What's he planting? Okay. Is he building a garden? So to speak. Just keep that in mind. While his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. Slaves of the landowner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you might uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And then in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather up the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So he goes on and tells a couple other parables. And then they ask him, after all these people left, verse 36, they ask him to explain the parable of the wheat and the tares. And verse 37, he said, "The one who sows the good seed is who?" Now, when you read the Bible, how long has the Son of Man been around? From the very beginning, right? Who built the garden? God planted the garden. Through who? Jesus. Through the Son of Man. Okay, catch us, because you're involved in this. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the ones, the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is who? The devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. So if you ever go to Revelation, there's a place in Revelation where he commands the angels to go out with their sickles. And it says, go harvest the grapes. Go harvest. And he's talking about harvesting the righteous and the unrighteous and what's going to happen after that. Then he says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will throw them into the furnace of fire. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so he says the Son of Man is the one who plants his good seed. And in the beginning, we found out that God planted a garden, right? Again, physical representation of a spiritual thing. God plants a garden, and when he plants a garden, he put man into it. And he said to man, cultivate it, keep it. That word for keep it means to guard it. And we know that Adam failed his task, right? Because when Satan came in through the serpent said, did God really say? And the serpent's goal was to do what? To pull him further away from the truth, to pull him further away from the word. That's the enemy's goal in this time. The enemy's goal for you is to pull you further and further and further away from the word. Why? Because if he can pull you from the truth, then he can destroy you. The Bible says that the devil roams around like a lion, and he does what? Steal, kill, and then what? Destroy. We got to grab a hold of that. The devil roams around like a lion, and his goal is to steal the truth from you, steal the word from you. His goal is to kill the relationship between you and God, and his goal then is to destroy. Because if that relationship between you and the Father, you and Jesus, is no longer there, what happens to you? Destroyed. Right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to Matthew 7. Flip back just a few pages or scroll back. Matthew 7, and we're going to talk about verse 15. He says this, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So what is this? The wolves in what? Okay, hold tight to this. You will know them by their fruits. Okay? Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So even today, in Monte, so I want to say this right here. You guys are the wheat field. This is the wheat field right here. Now imagine this. He says, among you will come wolves, and beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing, right? So in other words, the enemy will come and will seek to plant bad seed in this field right here. Catch it. In this field right here. You don't have to go outside of this church building to see exactly the scripture coming. Going to come to fruition if we're not careful. Wolves will come in sheep's clothing. The wheat and the tares will be in the same field, and they will grow up together. Here's how you tell the difference. A wolf seeks to remain hidden. Somebody say hidden. And the goal of a wolf is to not make himself known, because if a wolf makes himself known, what happens to the sheep? They scatter, right? But if a wolf stays hidden in among the sheep, then a wolf can remain And a wolf will do every little thing he can, because he's of the devil, to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. That's the goal of the wolf. Okay? So here's how you can tell a wolf. A wolf will change, by the way, real quick, a wolf will never attack the shepherd. He will always go after the sheep. Yeah. Grab a hold of that too. A wolf will never go after the shepherd directly. It'll go after the sheep. So here's what happens. A wolf will try to change the narrative. A wolf might come among the sheep and say, "Hey, the pastor's just not preaching right. He's not preaching. His sermons aren't good." And they'll come up with a reason why it's not good. Here's how you know if a pastor's sermon is good or not. Does it align with the Word? Is it teaching you the Word of God? If it's not teaching you the Word of God, then that person's right. If it's teaching you the Word of God, then you might want to be on your guard about that person. Here's another one. A wolf might come in and complain about other things that this church is doing, things that we have determined are right. Okay? So when the wolf comes in and complains about that stuff, you have to ask yourself, are we aligned with the Word of God? Are we aligned? Let me ask you this. Are we aligned with the Word of God here at Ayersville Community Church? If we are aligned with the Word of God, then you can trust that we're doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. If we're not, then we need to get some things in check. Amen? Okay. When these wolves come in and they seek to do these things, the reason they seek to do them is if they can change the narrative, you got to grab a hold of this, if they can change the narrative, they change the look of the sheep's clothing so that they don't stand out. Do you grab that? The reason they change the narrative is so that they can remain hidden and they can continue to steal and kill and destroy. So you have to ask yourself every time, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday, not just every Sunday, but every day of your life, are we aligned with the Word of God? Am I aligned with the Word of God? Is my pastor aligned with the Word of God? Is the music aligned with the Word of God? If we make a big deal about some of the aesthetics of this building, can we put that aside and be aligned with the Word of God? Yeah? Because aesthetics are one thing. We all have our opinions about aesthetics. We all have our opinions about the way a church should look and how it should feel and all that stuff. But I want to say this to you. Ultimately speaking, God is not concerned about how comfortable you are in this building. He's not concerned about how comfortable you are sitting in a pew. He's not raising up pew Christians or chair Christians. He's not raising up spectators. He's raising up warriors. He's raising up people to become who he wants them to become. That means you have to align with the Word of God. So, am I aligned with the Word of God? Is God ultimately working in my character right now? Is he working through some things in my life? Is he leading me through the darkness? Is he leading me through the valley of the shadow of death? Safely, I can say he is leading me through the valley of the shadow of death. I've been through some things. I've seen some things. And God just continues to work. He allows me to go through some things. And it causes me to draw closer to the Word, not further apart. Let me ask you this. When you're going through things, the battles and the storms in your life, when you're going through your anxieties and your fears and all that, are you drawing closer to the Word, or is it drawing you further apart? Because if it's drawing you closer to the Word, then you can bet that God has his hand on it and he's watching over you. He's leading you through it so that you will draw closer to him. If you're drawing further and further from the Word, then you can bet that this is an attack from Satan. Amen? Would God lead you away from his Word? No. But what does it say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? All right, so we gotta grab a hold of that. The kingdom then ends up being the Word of God. We have the wheat and the tares, and if we're not careful, the wheat and the tares will grow up in this field. The question is, when that happens, who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to the wolves? You're going to listen to the sheep? You're going to listen to the wolves? You're going to listen to the Spirit of God? Because if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, then we've got a problem. If you're not being led by the Word of God, we've got a problem. That's what Christianity is all about. Aligning yourself with the Word of God in all things, in heart, in mind, in body, all things. And the Bible says even that the Spirit of the Lord, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, can even bring life to your mortal bodies. That's this right here. That's this thing that ends up perishing. That's this thing that ends up passing away. That's this thing that seems very temporal, and you're going, why do I even care about this then if this is all going to pass away? Because this is our vessel. This is the thing that people see. This is the thing that reflects Jesus too. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your body. I have to align every bit of me with the Word of God. And if I'm not, then I am susceptible to the wolves that come among the sheep. I'm susceptible to the tares that come among the wheat. Why did he allow them to grow up together? Because he cares so much about you. Why did he allow the tares to grow with the wheat? Because he didn't want to uproot the wheat before its time. If you are here, you are here for a purpose. Praise God. If you are here, you are here for worship. And I'm not talking about just in this building. If you are here and alive on this earth, you are here for the worship of God. And if we can't align with the Word of God, we're in trouble. One of the best ways to align with the Word of God is through communion. One of the best ways to align with the Word of God, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word... Yep. But then it also says in verse 4, that the Word was light, and it gave what? Life to man. So if the Word gives life, then we need to figure out how we gain life from the Word. And it's not just reading the Scripture. The Bible says that Jesus went to the Pharisees one day, or they were coming to him, and he said to them, you look for your salvation in the Scriptures, but all the Scriptures do nothing but point to me. All the Scriptures point to Jesus, so the salvation is in Jesus. And so what he was saying is, if you would align with the Word, and the Word is Christ, the Word is God, if you would align with the Word, that you would have the Word of God in you. If you would partake in the Word, you would have the Word of God in you and with you. So the final climactic thing in the story was, he was in the upper room with his disciples. And everything that he taught them, all of the practical things, all of the principles of life, all of the things that he taught them came to this one moment where he said, this is my body broken for you. Everything I've taught you, you can only do it through this act that's about to happen right now. This is my body broken for you. This is for the forgiveness of your sins. But this is so that you can take in the Word of God. Amen? By the way, what's bread made from? Yeah. Not tares. The wheat. Okay. And then afterwards, he lifted up the cup. The cup that represents death and the pouring out of his blood. And he says that this is to wash away the unrighteousness. You can only have what I'm teaching you. You can only have what I'm telling you. You can only have what I want you to have if you do the bread and the wine, the juice. You can only have it if you partake in that, because that is partaking in the Word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much.
You know, one way you can tell a wolf among your crowd is keep mentioning Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Keep mentioning Jesus is Lord. Keep mentioning the goodness of Jesus. Not the goodness of God. And here's why I say that. God, the God that we serve, is good, and that there is goodness in God. But when you say the words, the goodness of God, God can mean anything to anybody. It doesn't mean God the Father to some people. It doesn't mean Jesus to some people. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit to some people. So when you say the goodness, say the goodness of Jesus, and be specific and talk about the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because if there are wolves among your crowd, watch them squirm. Watch them not be comfortable. They'll make themselves known. That's how you know. Mention Jesus. Jesus is Lord. The beautiful thing about taking communion during this service is that by aligning yourself with the Word of God, you're aligning yourself with Jesus. See, he went to the Pharisees and he said, you look for your salvation in the scriptures, but scriptures point to me. I am the Word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, as I said in the service, that there was life given to men. The Word was light, and it gave life to men. Jesus is the Word, because then it become, in verse 14, it says that the Word become flesh. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And if you would take the bread and the juice, you would be partaking of the Word of God. And it's not just that you're taking bread and juice into your body. What you're doing is you're recognizing what Jesus did for you and what he did for me, in that he died on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And it was for the remission of our sins, the forgiveness, that if we would partake of that, if we would come into alignment with that, the Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you have your bread and if you have your juice, I would like to pray over it for you. And I would pray that you would come under the alignment of the Word of God, not just the written Word of God, but the fullness of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the Word. I thank you so much for your flesh, for your blood poured out for us. I pray that as this one takes it, that they would receive it with fullness, and that it would transform their body, their heart, and their mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing his praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.